Now, Randy, with his smartphone, checked out the latest Harry Potter movie, which started at midnight, fitting day for the power of darkness. People dressed up as witches, evil people, and the world is prepared for open Satan worship. That's what it's coming to. Remember, Revelation 13 says, they worship the dragon? Yes, indeed. Where did that start? We're actually going way back in time. Who was the first one to replace God this side of the flood? Nimrod. And what did he bring in? He brought in a totalitarian dictatorship. He was the first beast this side of the flood. And what did they have? They had an all-inclusive pagan religion, correct? And they were technologically so advanced, even at that point after the flood, that they were building the Tower of Babel, and God came down to see what they were doing. And what did he say? Yes, he said, now that they begin to do this, nothing that they imagine to do cannot be done. They can do it. They can do whatever they imagine to do. And right now, we're right back into the same place, aren't we? And don't you hear that all the time? What men imagine to do, they can do. Who would have thought that we could have, you know, phones like this? Mention something during service, and you sit there, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Here it is right here. Ho-ho. Okay. But remember, you can be the smartest person in the world with all of that technology, but if you don't have it here with God's way, and remember, when the electricity goes off or your battery goes dead, you just lost your brains. Okay? All right. Now, here's where we are. Here's what's happening in the world. At the same time, the morals of the world go down in preparation for worshiping Satan the devil, and the Harry Potter thing is not going to end with this last movie. Guess how much they are going to take in the first week of the last Harry Potter movie? Over $1 billion. See? And they're all set up for it. And as I mentioned, when I went to the first Star Wars with all the kids, I said, this is nothing but Satanism. Oh, Dad! You know. But was it? Yes. Is it still going on? Yes. And even down here in the auditorium, after people saw that, they were going through the auditorium and say, let the force be with you. How about the nice little movie, Mary Poppins? The Nice Little Witch. See? That's how Satan gets everybody involved. But here's what they're doing. Come to Isaiah, the fifth chapter. Isaiah, the fifth chapter, verse 18. Now, there are a total of seven woes here to people who go against God. I won't go through the first two because I want to concentrate on the last five here, beginning with verse 18. And then we will see something that the world is going to be confronted with, just like Israel was confronted with it. And brethren, that's going to involve us. Like I mentioned, the dividing line is here. It is now. And people are going to have to decide, what are they going to do? Where are they going to go? Who are they going to believe? And unless all the churches of God are prepared to really preach the truth and to really call things as they really are, then God is going to have a lot of judgment against us, and it isn't going to be pretty. Think of all the judgment that has been upon us already. Everything that the church worked for is gone because of sin, is gone because of compromise, is gone because of politics, is gone because of handling the Word of God deceitfully. Now, we hope that all the churches of God can recover from that. That's our prayer. But we need to understand what happened. No one can go against God, especially the churches of God, and think that they can get away with it. Isn't going to happen. Okay, verse 18. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin with a cart rope, who say, let them hurry. That is, let God hurry. Come on, God, show yourself. Come on, God. Let him hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it. And let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come so that we may know it. But when we tell it to them, they don't want it. Do they? No, they don't. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. That's what they're doing with this. All the religions of the world are good. No, they're not. They're all Satan derived straight out of the cauldron of Babylon. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Oh, we can get along. Aren't we really nice? Let's keep our diversity, but in unity. Let's all collectively work for the good, and that is the deception that is coming upon the whole world. Let's go on. Woe to them who are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Think of that spiritually, to mingle all the religions of the world into one mosaic of a satanic concoction to drink. Who justify the woe to those who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. They've done that. They've caused a lot of people to stumble and fall. You ought to read some of the letters that I get and some of the emails that I get of the experiences that people have gone through in the churches of God. Brethren, it's pitiful. It is pitiful. Verse 24, therefore, here's what's going to happen. As fire devours the stubble and flame burns up the chaff, their root shall be like rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up like dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. And that's what they're doing. They're challenging God. Where are you? Where are your promises? Well, when that sixth seal opens, Christ is going to answer, bam! Here I am. You want to fight me? All right, now let's come back here to 2 Kings 18, okay? 2 Kings 18, because just as the challenge was given to the children of Israel, so the challenge has got to be given to the world, brethren. So we need to ask God to help all of his churches. Bring every one of them to the understanding that they need to have to preach the gospel that has been given to them to preach, and to do so in strength, in truth, in the way that God wants. Well, you know what happened here. Well, I guess it's 1 Kings 18. Beg your pardon. Let's back up. 1 Kings 18. I know it is in Kings 18. Yes, indeed. Elijah. Okay. Remember what happened. The drought came for 3.5 years, and God hid Elijah away for 3.5 years, and he stayed with a Gentile woman in the city of Sidon and her son. And they lived off a cruse of oil and flour for 3.5 years. Then God says, okay, it's time to go show yourself to Ahab. So he did. And here's what happened here, okay? Now let's find the exact place here. Verse 17. Came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, are you he who troubles Israel? You're the one who's causing the problems. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed Balaam. We'll have a lot to say about Balaam and the prophets of Baal, because what is happening with this united religion thing that's coming around the world, that's coming all back to Baalism again. Now, therefore, send and gather me all Israel to Mount Carmel, 450 of the prophets of Baal and 400 of the prophets of Asherim who eat at Jezebel's table. Then Ahab sent to all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets together in Mount Carmel, and Elijah came to all of the people. And here's what he said. And this is what we're going to have to preach right here. How long will you vacillate between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And all the people did not answer him a word. Do you know what happened? Elijah said, okay, since you are many, all the prophets of Baal, you go first. You set up your offering. You get it all ready. And all of you call on Baal. Well, they did it from morning till noon. Couldn't wake him up. So Elijah got up and said, well, maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's sleeping, you know, so call out a little louder. So they started cutting themselves and bleeding the blood on the ground, jumping up and down on the altar, Baal, hear us, Baal, hear us. And that's one song I don't like to hear in Elijah's, in Elijah by Mendelssohn, because the song is real tricky. It goes like this, hear us, O Baal, hear us, O Baal. I mean, it's really something. And when I listened to that whole thing through, it took me 3 days to get that out of my mind. So I don't want to get it back in there again. Okay. And so then after it was all done, about the time of Elijah's oblation, that's the correct translation, he said, all right, we'll set up an altar for the Lord. Set it up with whole stones, put the wood upon it, doused it with water 3 times to where the water came down, ran into trenches. And then Elijah prayed, okay? Now, I want you to time this prayer. See, because if you have faith, if we have faith, and we ask God in faith, it's not a matter of great length of time in praying. It's a matter, do we believe and do we trust in God? Okay, notice what he said here. Okay, go forth. Oh, here it is over here, okay. So then they went through the whole thing, and they tried. So down here in verse 30. And Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. Then all the people came nearer to him. He repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down, and he took 12 stones, set it up. He built the altar, ranged the wood, put the water on 3 times. Now here is his prayer, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and you have turned their heart back again. Now, how long is that prayer? 20 seconds? 30 seconds? Now, I'm not saying reduce your prayers to that every day, okay? But if you believe, it doesn't take hours and dancing and shouting and screaming and bloodletting. No. Here's how God answered. And the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood and the stone and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Now there's a dividing line. In the New Testament, the dividing line is now with the Word of God. Let's come to 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And we will catch the significance of this and how important it is for us today. Because of all the people going out saying, here's the way to God. Here's the way to God. Let's all be together and be good people. Let's quit fighting and warring one another. And after all the troubles and difficulties we've gone through, everyone's going to say, well, isn't that good? Why are you against that? Why are you against having peace among everyone? because it's peace under the auspices of Satan the devil and not peace under God. We look for a kingdom that is coming, not one here on earth. All right, notice what John wrote, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. That's what we're doing with this. Does it agree with the word of God or not? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and now they're multiplied. There are thousands, 10,000s, there are millions of false prophets around the world. By this test, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And that means has come in the flesh the way the Bible describes that he came in the flesh. Because a lot of people say, well, I believe that Jesus came in the flesh and he's the Son of God. But they don't believe the message that he brought, and they don't believe what God requires for them to do. Now notice, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was to come, and even now it is already in the world. And now look at what it is. We're coming to the whole world worshiping Satan. And it's going to be thought of as a wonderful and grand and glorious thing. A little sidebar. Remember what I've talked about with Glenn Beck? How he was warning about the financial things, and how I said, beware of his religion? Well, he's promoting harmony among all religions. So guess where he is eventually going to go? He's right now in Israel, but he's going to go to promote religions to work together. See, so always remember this. It's not how you start with speaking some truth. It's whether you speak all the truth and whether you live by it and how you finish. Always keep that in mind. All right, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. Never forget that. Brethren, I just want to tell you something. We do not have to be afraid of the evil forces of this world, because if we are on God's side, we have greater strength than they do. That's something we really need to grasp and understand. See? You are of God. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who does not know God does not listen to us. By this means, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception. And the spirit of deception comes from Satan the devil, and he's going to come and make it look grand and loving and wonderful and solutions to the world. Going to be back to old Baalism, but there it is. That is how we know. That's why we need the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the truth of God with everything that we do, brethren. All right, come back here to Jeremiah 23, because we're going to see this again with the Baalism, the modern Baalism. Worship the ultimate reality, and for the world, who is the ultimate reality? Satan the devil, because he's the god of this world. And what is his purpose? Well, he will lie to you. His purpose is that you be absorbed into the spiritual reality that he presents you. Jeremiah 23. Now, this is quite a section of scripture here. All right? Let's pick it up in verse 11. Let's pick it up here in verse 11, okay? Let's go back to verse 10. For the land is full of adulterers. Boy, isn't that true today? How many have ever watched CNBC or MSNBC where they have the fellow who finds all of the predators that are online? And even some of them know that they're subject to being trapped, and they still go. And every one of them says, well, I knew it was wrong. So they know right from wrong, right? But they are given to sexual predatory practices because of the way of this world. Talked to a man the other day, and he just, I think on the last DVD for Church at Home, we had Obsessed with Sex, parts 1 through 9. And he said, man, you sure laid it on the line with them. He said, there are going to be people who don't want to hear it. I said, yes, but there will be people who want to hear it. People that don't want to hear it, that's up to them. But those who do want to hear it, maybe God will call them. But there has to be that dividing line. If we go out to try and witness to new people and we bring a love song and dance that's nothing but marshmallow and puffiness and fuzziness, it isn't going to convict them. See? God wants people convicted of truth, convicted of right and wrong. He doesn't want somebody, oh, well, that's a nice message, I agree. Boy, those were a lot of pretty words. God says, repent. Remember, they hated Jesus. Okay? Now notice, because of swearing, the land mourns, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and we could add burned up. And their course is evil, and they wield power unjustly. Sound like the governments of this world, the churches of this world? Yes, indeed. Both prophet and priest are ungodly. Yea, in my house I have found their evil, says the Lord. That's why the Protestant churches are going down. They have not preached the truth. Let me tell you about the 1893. You can read it in the appendix here, Rome's Challenge to the Protestants. In 1893, that was right at the height of Westcott and Hort changing the New Testament. That was right at the time of the challenge of the Protestants to close down the World Fair, I believe it was in Chicago, and the Seventh-day Adventists sued that Sunday was not the Lord's Day. And that it shouldn't be shut down. And they won the suit. Well, in 1893, that's when Rome's Challenge to the Protestants was written. Now, you need to mark and understand there are certain things in history that take place that God causes to be done. And from that point, God makes his judgment. And this, you read Rome's Challenge. It was every Sabbath in a row for 4 Sabbaths that was published in the Baltimore Mirror, written by Cardinal Gibbons, saying to the Protestants, you are really Catholics because you don't keep the scripture and you don't keep the Sabbath, and you are on a suicide mission because God says if you take his word and you don't live by it, then you are doomed. And he said, take the better course. Quit being hypocrites and come wholly on Catholic ground. Because the Roman Catholic Church, in all of its arrogance, is going to rise against you in a time you don't think of. That has happened. The Protestants have been destroyed from within through corruption, sexual morals, through the destruction of the church in England that the Catholics have been working to destroy for 500 years. 400, rather. No, 500. They are destroying the Episcopal Church. They are destroying every Christian church in the world through infiltration and false doctrine, and even the Southern Baptist. And I said years ago, the day is going to come when the Southern Baptists are going to have to choose the truth or not. And sure enough, from within, there was a false prophet who became one of their leading theologians, and he worked his way up in the Southern Baptist conference down in the southeast of the United States. I forget his name, but I mentioned it on one of the other ones there. And after 27 years, when he had the reins of power, then he brings out all of the false doctrine and denying Christ and denying salvation. So this is a big deal that's happening, brethren. And here it is, right here. Found it in my house. So that their way shall be to them as slippery ways in darkness, and they shall be driven on and fall in their way, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their judgment. Now, come over here to verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he has performed the purposes of his heart. Now notice carefully, in the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. Are we living in the latter days? Yes, indeed. We don't know how long we have, but let me tell you something. However long we have is still a short time compared to how much time has gone on since Christ has been here, correct? And if we aren't zealous, and if we're not doing what God wants us to do, woe to us, because judgment is always upon the house of God. We can't hide from God. We can't manipulate things like the world is. We can't become like the world, because they are going to be deceived. I mean, this is really down to things here. Let's read what he says. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, and I've read this verse quite a few times, and it's true. Anyone who preaches the truth of God as it is, that is the word of God. Okay? Cause my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings. God would have recognized that. But now, they're all being rejected. People go into those churches and say, where is God? Where is the difference? We have the same number of addicts. We have the same number of alcoholics. We have the same number of pedophiles within this church group. How are we different from the world? See? What are we going to do? Let's not become like them. So God says, am I a God who is near, says the Lord, not a God far off? Yes, he's near, close as your knees. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? I've heard what these prophets said who prophesy lies in my name. I have dreamed a dream, and that includes everything that I have read to you today. Because they come to pretend to show a God that can bring this world together, and it's not Jesus Christ and God the Father. They are eliminating them. So they are all prophets of Baal. How long shall it be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who are prophets of the deceit of their own heart? They shall scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. Remember what Jesus said. There shall be false Christ and false prophets that shall, if possible, even deceive the elect. And look around. How many people were with us that we thought were part of the elect? Where are they? What has happened to them? Brethren, pray for them. Remember this, as long as there's life, there's hope. They can be like the prodigal son coming home. And when they come home, come back to God, then they better get their lives squared around the right way, you see. We don't want to castigate those people and say, you've committed the unpardonable sin. We don't know. But ask that through all the events that are transpiring, God would prick their hearts and prick their minds, that they would come back and seek God, that they can be brought back. See, God is in the redemption business. They can be redeemed. Let's go on here. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That's what it has to be, brethren. That's one of the motivating factors as to why we have the Bible. Seeing all of this go on in the 90s, there we were, just a very small group. And at that time, Dr. Dorothy was still alive, and I would talk to him almost every day on the phone. And we would go through sections of the New Testament and the Greek. And he said, Fred, translate. And so I did when I saw the homosexual Bible coming out, when I saw the NIV, when I saw the TNIV, when I saw this thing in 1995. I said, if we don't handle the Word of God faithfully, and if we don't teach the Word of God faithfully, and if what God has taught me and let me learn, and I know about the Word of God, if I don't handle the Word of God faithfully, where will we all be? We're just a small group at that time, about 12 people. That was it. And now with the help of Michael Heiss, we've got the whole Bible because he brought the expertise that we needed to do the Old Testament. I didn't have enough knowledge of Hebrew to do it. And we're very thankful continuously for what Mike did. And as he said in one of his sermons that he gave here, of all the studies that he had in going to University of Judaica and the Hebrew Union College, he wondered when he would use that knowledge. Now he has. We got it right here. And brethren, I think if we look at all the translations that are in the world today, this one stands head and shoulder above them all for the truth. Not that it's perfect. God never lets a man do anything perfect, but he lets it be done in a manner of the highest quality and inspiration that it will preach the word in truth. Okay, let's go on here. That's why we hold it faithfully. Now here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen in the world. You want these ministers who are supposed to be preaching the gospel, supposed to be preaching about Christ? If they don't do it, here's what's going to happen. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? These men are not going to prosper. This thing is not going to work. It may prosper at first, because there's prosperity and there's joy in sin for the time being until the penalty comes. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets who use their tongues and say, he says, when I did not say. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them, and cause my people to go astray by their lies and their wantonness. Yet I did not send them nor command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people. So that's what's happening in the world. That's where we are. And it's going to come to the fore even more. So brethren, I'm going to probably give one more sermon on this, the coming world religion. But let's go back and review Revelation 13 and see that it is coming and that the world is going to accept it. They have rejected the true Christ. They have rejected the true God. They have rejected the Bible. And whenever you say the law is abolished, you reject Christ, you reject the Bible. Whenever you do a mistranslation, whenever you take something out of the Bible or add something to the Bible, you are rejecting God. Revelation 13, let's pick it up here in verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast before him and causes the earth. You see, this is going to be a worldwide thing, a global thing, covering the whole earth, all nations. And those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great wonders, as Jesus said, so that he even causes fire to come down to earth from heaven in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given to him to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth, they should make an image for the beast which had the wound by the sword, yet was alive. So think about all the instant communication, and think about all the things that are taking place, and what we need to do, okay? All right. Thank you, Harry. A little notice on the time here. Okay, we'll take care of that in just a minute. For our overseas offices, please check our website www.cbcg.org.